Anyway, so with that, though, it's wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again, and that we remember that we are able to be here, not because we are such great people, because we so often fail and aren't great people, but we're able to be here because of the incredible love and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and paid the penalty of our sins so that we do not have to. And because our sin has been paid for, we are able to be in his presence as his holy children. And we remember the time when we were welcomed into this community of God through the gift of baptism. And so every service we begin remembering that day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, this day that we get to live our faith for you, but we get to live it in a special way, Lord, in your house, in your presence, hearing your word and being able to respond with words of thanksgiving and praise for every blessing that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit to work in our hearts and our minds this morning, that we may know you as the God that you truly are and worship you, Lord, and give you thanks and praise. All this we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, as we come into God's house, we do notice that we have fallen short of his divine will, his perfect plan, his law. And let's take this opportunity to lay all those sins at the foot of the cross, to give these sins to God, to confess them, and to receive the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us. Let's confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, there is only one proper response to that kind of a message of grace and forgiveness, and that is to sing songs of praise. So let's do so now.
Save to sing Jesus Christ. heart proclaim the mercy of your name.
Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm one of the elders at St. Mark's, and this morning it's my privilege to share the first scripture reading with you. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that day, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Thus concludes the first scripture reading this morning.
Our sermon text for today is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. "Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Through him, both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together with becoming a built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." All right, kids, it's time for you guys to come forward at this time. We have now time for the children's message. Don't be afraid. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Enjoying the rain? Good. Yeah. That's a guy thing, isn't it? Got to go out and get drenched, play in the mud. Yeah. All right. Good morning, Mr. Liam. I'll put you right here. No. Okay. All right. I got these two. All right, guys, listen up. Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to need some help today. You guys ready to think really hard?
Yeah.
You ready for this? Okay, I am going to divide you guys up. You ready?
Ready.
I want everybody with brown eyes to stand over here, and everybody with blue or green eyes to stand over here. Go, go, go.
Wait, where's blue and green?
Blue and green is over here. Brown is over here. What color are your eyes? Your eyes are blue, I think. I'm colorblind, so, you know, it's kind of fun. You're brown. I can usually tell blue. That's usually good. All right, my friends. So, here we got. We have the blue and green eyed people, and we have the brown eyed people. All right. Which one does Jesus love? Well, that didn't work then. We got to divide you up differently. All right, everybody with long hair, stand over here. And everybody with short hair, stand over here. Yeah, long hair has to go over here. Okay, that's fine. You're short hair, definitely. All right, you're long hair. All right, you ready for this? Which one does Jesus love? Well, that didn't work either. How else should we divide you guys up? Let's see here now. Guys, this is a really good one. You ready for this? Who can touch their nose with their tongue? Can you do that? Everybody try. I can do it, see? Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, Sadie's got it. Yeah, it's a little hard. You got to it's a challenge, right? All right. Does Jesus love you more if you can touch your nose with your tongue?
Jesus loves everyone.
Is that the way it works?
Yes.
All right, guys, have a seat. All right, here's the thing. That is exactly what our Bible verse is today about. Is it saying, guys, in the old days, there were... Go ahead. Have a seat. Yeah, that's exactly what our Bible verse is about for today. Is it's telling us this. Who did Jesus die for? Who did Jesus die for? Everybody. So when you walk up to somebody and you're like thinking, should I share Jesus with them? Should I tell them about how Jesus died for them? Should I tell them that their sins are forgiven? And do I need to ask them any questions first? Do I say, do you have blue eyes? Because I can only tell you this if you have blue eyes. Do we do that? No. How about do we walk up to them and say, can you touch your nose with your tongue? Because this only applies to you if you can touch your nose with your tongue. Do we do that? No. We know that Jesus died for everybody. And that Jesus wants who to be saved? Everybody. What does that mean? That means that when we're out in the world and when we meet somebody and have an opportunity, do we share God's love with everybody? Absolutely everybody. And do we pray for everybody that they would come to faith? Yeah, absolutely we do. And do we prepare ourselves so that we are ready to tell people about Jesus? Is that an important thing to do? It is, because Jesus died for everybody. And if he wants everybody to be saved, and if he loves everybody, then we do too, right? Can we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us. Help us, Lord, that we would remember that you have died for our sin and that you have died for the sin of every other person. Help us, Lord, to share that message with them. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go sit down, my friends. It is now time for little worship. So 4-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle, and you guys will get a message for you, and we will bring all these people back. So if you're watching your children run away, don't be afraid. We won't keep them.
What if it's 3 years old and then you want
How old is he?
Three.
Is it okay if a three-year-old goes to a little worship? Parents? I don't know where they are. That's okay? Okay. Three is good enough today. All right. I love it. Who's going to say no to that? I want to go to little worship. Go. All right, my friends. Today's reading is quite the reading. Anybody want to talk more about circumcision? Not like awkward or anything, right? All right, folks. Thing is this. The circumcision is an awkward reminder, but it's a reminder that basically tells us that in the Old Testament, there was a chosen people. And the way this came out is actually kind of logical. It makes sense. You know, God loved all of mankind. He made all of mankind. He made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and everything was wonderful. Everything was great right up until Adam and Eve decided to sin and fall short of God's glory. And immediately they turned on each other, blaming the serpent, blaming the world turned against them. God explained that, you know, how they were going to have to toil now in the world, because now not only would the good plants grow, but the weeds would grow and things were going to get crazy and the world fell apart. It's all because of this sin that came into the world through people, through the decisions of Adam and Eve. And now that sin is pervasive. It's in all of us. I mean, we're born in it and immediately dive right into sin. If anybody doesn't think babies sin, they have not been a parent. Those children are, we love them. They're adorable and cute. And God gives that to them as a survival thing. Because if they weren't adorable, I don't know if we'd keep them, right? But the thing is that, you know, right from the beginning, we are steeped in sin and we don't stop. We keep sinning. And our sins simply get more creative and interesting, you know, and we come up with better rationales for sin. But we definitely do keep on sinning. And God loved his people. He loved the people that he had created. And so he started right at the moment when he told Adam and Eve the mess that they were in. He told them what the curse of sin is, how things were going to fall apart. He right then began to reveal his plan of salvation. And he told Eve, out of you will come one who is going to set all this right. And then we waited. I mean, Eve thought that her first son would be the one, but it didn't turn out that way. He ended up being the first murderer, which was something completely different. But the thing is that God had this plan. And in just the right time, God chose one man in the world to be his man. To be the man of promise, the one who he said, I will make you into a great nation, and from you will come the one who will set all things right and who will be a blessing to the entire earth. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob's children, who ended up being slaves in Egypt, and they became a great nation. In Egypt, in bondage and in slavery, they became a great nation. God blessed them and they multiplied and there became so very many of them that the Egyptians actually were afraid of them, which is why they were enslaved and which is why they were held down, because the Egyptians didn't know that they were this enormous population and they were very strong and very blessed and they were afraid of these people. And finally, God redeemed his people and brought them out of Egypt, and he brought them to the bottom of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and there God made a covenant with these people, and he said, here's the deal. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will guide you and protect you and provide for you and give you rules to live by, and you will love me and worship me and obey me. You will be faithful. I will be faithful. This is the deal. And the people of God lasted about 3 hours. I mean, it was while the Ten Commandments were still being given to Moses, the people were down in the valley making a golden calf, saying, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Great. That worked really well. And the people of God continued to sin, but God worked with them. He disciplined them. Every time they wandered away, he pulled them back. He sent challenges, difficulties, foreign armies, disease, famine, whatever he could throw at them to get them to wake up and to pay attention to him and to refocus their understand that they were utterly dependent on him, that when they turned to him for relief, he would then provide for them a way out so that they would be able to be restored. And the people of Israel, it was a long challenge. I mean, you read the Old Testament, it is just the children of Israel fall into sin. God, you know, gives them some difficulty. The people of Israel repent and are restored, and then they last about 3 hours, and then they're right back into some other sin, and it's just so aggravating. It's like when you're reading the Old Testament, you're like beating your head, like, why can't these people learn? How dumb are they? We'll get to that. The thing is that God, and God had this one nation, and he worked so hard to keep them faithful. And one of the things he did to keep his people faithful is he tried to isolate them, because the people who lived around them had other gods and other worldviews, other ways of seeing things. And he knew that if you start importing all of these other gods and other ways of seeing things into his people were very susceptible to wandering off and starting to worship other gods. And so he was very careful. He taught his people that your job is to be kind and generous to the aliens among you, that if somebody comes from the outside and visits among you, you have to treat them with justice and kindness and generosity. But at the same time, don't be influenced by them. They stunk at this. It didn't work very well, but this was the best that God could do, because, you know, he had to balance his love for these people with the, you know, the absolute imperative of keeping Israel clean, to keep them focused on God. And why is it so important that Israel remain focused on God? Well, this was the chosen people. This is the people that God was revealing his law to, his plan to, his grace to. These are the people who were supposed to be, you know, performing the sacrificial system that gave them the forgiveness of sins that would be earned later by the great sacrifice of Christ on the cross. This is the people who were the ones who were going to understand who it is that Jesus was and why Jesus came later on, because they were steeped in understanding and studying the word of God that was revealed to them through the prophets. And if these people fell away from God, if these people lost the scriptures, if these people wandered, then who would recognize Jesus when he came? Who would preserve the Old Testament for us today? Where would we know? How would we know? And so God held them. And it kind of set up a weird thing in the world, because now you have the people of God who God is kind of protecting and holding separate, and then you have all the other people. So you have the chosen people and the not chosen people. You have the people of God who know how to get forgiveness, and you have everybody else who don't know. You have the people of God who have kept themselves faithful, and you have all the people who are not faithful. And this dichotomy, this separation, gets really intense in the period of the temple in Jerusalem. There actually was a wall built around the temple building. On the outside of the wall, it was called the court of the Gentiles, the court of the nations, right? And that's where everybody could come. But then there was a wall that was about that tall. And on the wall were signs that were printed. And these signs were in three languages. These signs were written in three languages so that everybody could read it and there wouldn't be any excuse. But the sign said this: no stranger is to enter within the balustrade around the temple and the enclosure. Whoever is caught will be himself responsible for his ensuing death. Hostile enough for you? And the thing is this, is that it's the holiness of God that was being honored here, right? That if you were not one of the people of God, if you were not one of the people that was chosen by him, who understood his prophecies and were part of the sacrificial system so that their sins were covered, then you were not clean, ceremonially clean, so that you could enter the proper temple ground. And there was actually a wall. And then Jesus came. And he kind of changed everything. Because before that point, you were either one of God's chosen people or not. Now, did the prophets actually go and talk to other people groups? Know of any good examples? Like Jonah? Right? Who'd Jonah go talk to? Assyria, right? He went up and he talked to the count of Nineveh and he said, hey, guys, you guys got to repent. You're going totally wrong here. You got to repent. And the king of Assyria repented, much to Jonah's chagrin. He did not want them to repent. He wanted them to suffer. But God was gracious to Nineveh, and the Ninevites actually did repent. Does that mean they became the people of God? No, it didn't mean that. But did God love them? Did he send them a prophet? Did he try? Yeah. Yeah, he did. Could the people who were not the chosen people of God, could individuals from other nations come and join the children of Israel? Yeah, they could. God gave them a process by which people on the outside could become one of the chosen people. And it happened. Ruth. Right? I mean, we have examples throughout the Old Testament of people who joined into the children of Israel, and that was a thing that did happen. But does that make it like everybody was God's people back then? But Jesus changed all this. Instead of being the chosen people of God or the unchosen people, God has now brought those two groups together. And he brings those two groups together because now, instead of the sacrificial system that is the method by which we receive the forgiveness of sins, now we receive the forgiveness of sins through the death and resurrection of Christ. And the question I ask the kids over and over again, right, is who did Jesus die for? Well, if Jesus died for everybody, then doesn't that change everything? Because now at this point, it's not just the Jewish people who are saved, but it's all people who are saved. All people have been brought under grace. All people have been covered by the blood of Christ. All sin has been paid for, and everybody has welcomed into the family of God. And the frustration is that not everybody has received the gift. You know, we live in this world where every sin has been covered. It's like running around and telling everybody your debts are paid, you owe nothing. And some people don't know and are still scrimping and saving and going without because they have to pay the bill. And it's so frustrating because it's like this is unnecessary. The grace is there. Forgiveness is paid for. The deal is done. We just got to get the message out. And to understand that even that God doesn't leave to us alone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that even the getting the message out part, we don't have to try to do it all by ourselves. It's not like this is the thing that we can do for God and that we're, it's all one way. It's that God works through us, gives us his words, puts his spirit into the words that we are speaking that can actually change the hearts of the people to whom we speak. And that just like we came to faith because the Spirit came to us through baptism, through the Word, and that our sins have been forgiven because of the forgiveness or the faith that we have in the forgiveness that Jesus earned, just like we came to faith, these other people also can come to faith by that same incredible, gracious action of the Spirit. And that it's all about Him. And we just get to live out the lives that God has given us in a way that is faithful to Him, in a way that is grateful to Him for how all that we have received from Him, in a way that is loving to Him and to the people around us. And the number one way to love the people around us, the number one thing you can do is to tell them what Jesus has done. In this world today, we are all people filled with compassion. We see the storm damage done and we want to help. We see sickness and disease and we want to help. We see people dying of cancer and we want to contribute to the scientists who are trying to, you know, cure cancer. We see all kinds of evils in the world and we want to get involved and help. But folks, listen, the greatest evil is that the people that God created, the people that God loves, the people that Jesus died for are still not saved because they don't know, because they haven't been told, because nobody is speaking to them. And that's a tragedy. And to understand the incredible blessing that we have this message, and that this we get to take part in the rescue, in the salvation of the people that are out there by just carrying the message that God gave us and letting Him and His Spirit do the work of conversion. It's incredible. It's crazy. It's amazing. It is the biggest rush you'll ever get. It's absolutely amazing, and it's a command. You know, it's actually something God tells us. This is something you need to do. He says, I came here to teach you. I came here to sacrifice myself for you. And what is the great commandment that we talk about on Monday, Thursday? As I have loved you, love one another. And so here's our job. Our job is to love. We have received this love. We have been filled up with this love. We have received the forgiveness. We have received the comfort of knowing that we don't walk through this world alone, but that God walks with us. We have received the blessing of knowing that our God provides for us and that we can have confidence even in the most insecure of times, knowing that our God is with us. And worst case scenario, I get to go home early, you know? And we can live in the peace of knowing this. And our job is to pass on that truth to another generation of people, another generation of Christians, so that more people can be saved. Because we know that Jesus died for every last person. Now, does that mean that the people with tattoos all over their arms and the face tats, you're going to witness to them? I don't know. They're pretty scary looking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't we do that though sometimes, as we kind of look at somebody and we see their external appearance, or we see the group that they're in, or we see, you know, how mean they're being, or how, you know, whatever, and we think, well, I won't share with them. Well, are they part of everybody? So what's our job? Might they punch us in the face? Has it happened before? Paul was beaten and left for dead twice. And he didn't stop. You know, so what I'm saying is it worth risk to share the gospel? Now, we want to do it with We want to do it with love. We want to do it with respect. We don't want to do it with harshness. We don't want to do it in an obnoxious and unwinning way. But we also want to do it. And so here's the thing. We know the grace of God. We know that Jesus on the cross took your sin upon himself and fully paid the penalty of that sin, completely and utterly, so that there is nothing left. We know that we will stand before the throne of God on that last day, and he will look at you and he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," not because we were actually good and faithful, but because we're wearing the righteousness that Jesus gave us at the cross. And our overwhelming desire on this earth is that we would love the people that God loves, that we would give everything we have to spread this message of salvation so that more people will be hearing that message on that last day. And this is our act of worship. This is how we love God. This is how we love our neighbor. This is living out the law that God has given us because of the faith that God has given us, not to be good enough to get to heaven, but because we are already going to heaven and we want more people to be there with us. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you for covering us with your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us alone in this world with an impossible task to do by ourselves, Lord, but that you walk with us, carry us, put words in our mouth, Lord, and make even our insignificant sometimes, even our inept efforts at witnessing, Lord, you make them powerful, Lord, because you are that good. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live out this life that you have given us, this life, this new life in the Spirit, Lord, that you have given us by sharing this message of salvation boldly, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the life of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My dear friends, let us go before our Father in heaven. Because of the forgiveness that we have received, because we stand in front of God with the robes of righteousness that Jesus earned for us, we can now turn to our Father in heaven and talk to him, and knowing that he will receive us and hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, another day that we get to walk out the faith and the life that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would help us, Lord, because we're not always paying attention. We're not always listening carefully, Lord. Lord, speak loudly so that we will hear. Guide us through our lives, Lord, so that we can bring glory to you, Lord, in everything we do. Help us, Lord, to live worshipful lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those in our congregation who are sick or recovering from surgeries or having medical issues and not knowing exactly what's going on yet. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us in each circumstance. Give us the comfort that we need. Thank you for the people that you have put around us, Lord, people who support us and help us through these difficult times. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you carry us through these times. That we know because of your revelation, Lord, we know that you give us the strength and are our strength during the most difficult things. Lord, I pray that you would be with Sandy Schutte and her family, Lord, at the death of Pastor Ron. Lord, I pray that you would continue to just give them comfort, Lord, that incredible comfort of that comes from knowing that he belonged to you, that he died in faith, Lord, that he is with his Jesus today, standing spellbound in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless that family, Lord, with the confidence of knowing that he is with you, but also, Lord, that you would give them strength through the difficult time of grief. Lord, we pray that you would be with our country right now, Lord, with the intense political divisions that are happening. Lord, I pray that you would teach us again how to love each other, that we would be able to love as you love, Lord, without condition, that we would be able to love and to care for each other even though we disagree, that we don't dehumanize, that we don't stop caring for each other, Lord. I pray that you would heal our nation. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our congregation. Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, so much for the gentlemen who help us maintain our property team, Lord. They're just the most amazing people. And thank you, Lord, for providing these people who work so hard to make our school and church a comfortable place for your ministry to be done. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the rummage sale ministry that's getting kicked off today in a big way, Lord. Every year, Lord, you provide for your people in many ways, and Lord, we know this is one. Be with those who are doing the work. Give lots of hands that the work can be light. And just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful community that happens through this ministry. All these things, Lord, we want to bring before you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Rising, he justified, freely forever.
My dear friends, once again, our God has blessed us with his very body and blood, and that through this gift of Holy Communion, we have received again, according to his promise, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that will continue to nourish and give us strength through this life, so that our faith will be preserved and we will be in his glory. With this, because of his promise, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand up one last time as we sing the final sending song together. Have a seat, my friends. First of all, Sunday school children, if you guys are ready to go, head out to the lobby, and Miss Lauren will be out there to whisk you away to Sunday school. The rest of you, a couple of announcements. First of all, rummage sale begins today. If you didn't catch that at prayer time, it is a thing. And we need to, they just waxed the floor in the gym, so if you go down there and help set up tables, you can be the, one of the honored first to walk upon the new wax. But basically, we do need help down there to set up some tables and racks and whatever else. I would just listen to Denise. If you don't, I'd be afraid. No, I'm kidding. Denise is awesome. Anyway, no, but nevertheless, yeah, they do need help getting things set up down there so that they can get it all sorted and do that whole thing. Other thing, confirmation registration is now open. So 7th and 8th graders can register for confirmation. 6th graders can register for the First Communion classes. And all that information is on our website, and I believe in the bulletin as well. So that's everything I have for you today. Unless you want me to talk longer, I can always do this. All right, very good. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful week. God's blessings, and I'll see you in the back of the church.